Let me take you back to 1918. World War I has just ended, the Russian Revolution is underway, and U.S. troops are fighting in Russia. Wait, what? This is history Americans have mostly overlooked, but for a year after the First World War ended, U.S. and Allied troops remained in combat in Russia against the Bolsheviks. James Carl Nelson, the author of a new book, tells the story. Your book is called The Polar Bear Expedition, after the nickname. How did they get that moniker?
They kind of anointed themselves as polar bears towards the end of the war. They knew they had been through something very special, and they're so far up towards the Arctic, not quite in polar bear territory, but they basically lived like animals in the cold, 50, 60, 70 below, and it just seemed apropos. So they had a special patch made up for them. They needed a special moniker, and that's what they came up with.
So how did it work out? Did they see a lot of combat against the Russians up in Archangel?
Yeah. The 339th Regiment landed in Archangel on September 5th, 1918, and instead of guarding stores, were immediately hustled off their transports by the British commanders who were running the operation and sent hundreds of miles to the south. They met combat immediately within days of heading up the river down the railway line, and the combat continued until April.
What kind of casualties?
They lost 235 men. About 70 of those died of the flu in the first weeks after landing at Archangel. Their transports were flu-ridden. The rest were killed in action, died of wounds. There were a few accidents. So they had some significant casualties.
At what point in this operation does World War I end?
It ended on November 11th, 1918, even as these units were strung out across a 400-mile front south of Archangel. And in fact, ironically, I guess, Company B of the 339th was stationed at Tulgas, about 200 miles south of Archangel on the Dvina River. And on Armistice Day, they were attacked by hundreds of Bolsheviks and spent 3 days fighting for their lives. And then the rest of the winter, building up their fortifications and still fighting off the predations of these Bolshevik warriors.
So the point is, World War I ends, and they're still fighting Russians. U.S. troops fighting Russians.
Yeah. It became a real source of frustration among some of the troops. Like, all these other men who fought in France are going home. Why are we here? They never got a good answer of why they were there. Especially, there was no reason anymore to rebuild the Eastern Front, if that's what they had given them. There was no reason to guard stores against the predations of Bolsheviks or Germans with the war over. So there was no real clear intent of what they were doing there.
So how did it come to an end?
Basically, Woodrow Wilson understood finally that his troops were being misused and had, in fact, been engaged in combat with the Bolsheviks. And there was a growing movement in the U.S., started probably with the relatives, and Woodrow Wilson finally in mid-February 1919 said, yeah, you know what, I want these guys out of here by summer, which there was no way they could have left in February because the White Sea was frozen up at Archangel. But slowly, beginning probably in late March and into April, they started drawing the troops back from these fronts. They gathered at Archangel and sailed out in the first week of June of 1919.
These soldiers were mostly from Michigan. You really got to know them in your research. Tell us which man made the biggest impression on you.
I think it'd have to be Harry Meade from Valparaiso, Indiana. His family ran a boarding house. He was the commander of the 4th Platoon of Company A. It was the most far-flung platoon, 250 miles from Archangel at a place called Nizhny Gora. And on the morning of January 19th, 1919, he and the 45 men under him were attacked by 1,300 Bolsheviks and endured a running month-long flight for safety. 25 of his men were killed in action, and their bodies, actually many of their bodies, were not found until 10 years later when an expedition went back to collect bodies.
That was very striking, the fact that these guys went back in 1929 to Soviet Russia to recover the bodies of their fallen comrades.
Yeah. When they got back to the Detroit area, they formed the Polar Bear Association to keep the memory alive, to honor the sacrifices of their fallen. They had brought about 112 bodies back on the transports that brought them to the U.S., but that left more than 100 still strung out in graves around Russia. And so they raised some funds, went to Europe. A contingent of about 5 or 10 of these men were finally allowed to get into Russia. They went back to the battle areas where they'd been, and they located and disinterred another 86 bodies and brought those back to the United States.
You write that a lot of Americans have forgotten about this episode. What about the Russians? Do they remember it?
Much more remembered in Russia than in America. When the intervention ended, Bolshevists were able to use their repulsion of this intervention to great propaganda effect, saying, hey, look, we drove out the invaders. And I think, you know, there was great umbrage at the invasion that somebody had tried to come in and mess in their internal affairs. So, yeah, they've kept the flame of this alive through the years. The average Russian is much more aware of this intervention than anybody in the United States probably would be.
Was it considered a success or failure?
Oh, it was an abject failure. I mean, they didn't accomplish anything. You know, think of the designs, especially the big overarching idea of undoing the revolution. I mean, basically, they were lucky to get out with their lives.
James Carl Nelson is author of The Polar Bear Expedition, The Heroes of America's Forgotten Invasion of Russia, which is out this month. Thanks a lot.
Thank you very much.
Thanks to Minnesota Public Radio in St. Paul for use of their studios.